The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. We'll start in the news. The defending champions of the FA Cup are out. Brighton defeating Liverpool by 2-1. It'd be Liverpool who would take the lead. Elliott with the goal. Dunk then would deflect in an effort with 6 minutes to go in the first half. It looked like it was heading for a replay, but a sensational goal for Mitoma would see Brighton through and Liverpool out. Here's what Jurgen Klopp had to say after the game.
We're obviously much better than when we were here last time. Gave much lesser away, so they didn't have these chances. They had to score from two set pieces, which is obviously is not allowed, to be honest, but it happened anyway. In the first half, we did a lot of things really well, but then again, we lost. Actually, they were only really dangerous last time. They played with us, around us, through us. So this time, they were the most dangerous situations they had from set pieces and when we gave the ball away, too simple in the first half, that was a little bit of a problem. But apart from that, second half, of course, when you can bring on energy and you try that, that's what we tried. There were other moments, we were around the box, but we didn't finish the situations off clear enough. I think directly after the restart, we had our moments again, chances, didn't use them, and then it's an open game that you have to accept. How sad. If you cut that game out of all of the others, I think we had worse games when we got knocked out of the FA Cup or whatever cup competition than today. But in general, in the situation we are, we wanted to show a reaction, or show the reaction, but in the end, it was not enough.
Well, Don joins us now. Forgive us, Don. I'm going to start with Stevie. It's dire, isn't it, at the moment? It's dire when you're going, well, we weren't as bad as we were last time, but we were really bad, and that was the worst game of my managerial career.
Yeah, it's strange you start with, well, we're better than the last time.
Thank you. Hold on, lads. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I just think we've got to accept where Liverpool are right now, and the fact of the matter is that as much as they were better than the last time, as a game of football, Brighton were the better team. Listen, he's not wrong when he said they had chances, because they did. Mm-hmm. We showed a couple that Mo Salah had. But Brighton also had chances. Alisson had to make saves as well. You know, so both sides were guilty of not taking chances that they created. At the end of the day, as I said, Brighton were the better footballing team.
Yeah.
At no stage did Liverpool have control of this game.
And you've said this over and over again about Liverpool.
Aye. When was the last time I said they had control? Mm. So they can't really complain. They are where they are because that's what they are right now. We're just always going to be comparing them to last year when they were two games off, winning four trophies. But we've got to forget about that and think about right now.
But we can't just wipe and just say, oh, Liverpool are a mid-table side. That's
No, but they are.
But they shouldn't be. With the personnel that they've got, they should be a lot better.
You've got all kinds of things that happen in football, Dan, where people lose form, the confidence goes a little bit, some of the legs go a little bit. There's all kinds of things that play into it.
Right.
And what usually and what normally happens is you make a couple of signings that transforms the outlook of everybody, helps the team, gets the guys who weren't in form on their toes again. You know, this is no question a bit of a hangover. They haven't recovered from last year yet. I don't know whether they're feeling sorry for themselves. I don't know whether Klopp's overworking them in training. But there are so many things that are not happening right now that were happening in previous years. And as I said, they've got to make some signings because this group together is failing together.
It doesn't look
like anybody to take them out of it.
But they've made signings.
They can go and sign five goalkeepers, but they don't need a goalkeeper.
Right.
And Gakpo's a little bit for that for me. They didn't. You can say they've got injuries going forward, but Gakpo was not what they needed. Gakpo's a good signing, and I'm sure he'll do well. But right now, we need players in the middle of the field, because the middle of the field has given Liverpool absolutely nothing. absolutely nothing. And if you've got the engine room that is choking, then it doesn't matter who you're playing against. Right. You're going to be under pressure.
We're at the stage where Brighton beating Liverpool isn't a surprise at all, Don.
No.
Correct. And it went to form. The shock would have been Liverpool beating Brighton today. I mean, Brighton have played Liverpool three times this season. Dan scored 8 goals. I agree with Stevie. I thought they were the better side. I thought it was good moments for Liverpool. You know, I remember being on the show when Brighton beat them 3-0, and me and Stevie were saying there was nothing to cling on to. There was nothing. It was just empty. Where I thought Liverpool defended a little bit better today. I thought Konate was easily Liverpool's best player.
This is glass half full for no reason, though, isn't it? Liverpool are in dire straits at the moment. It's kind of epitomised.
Do you know what's even more worrying? They can't get the basics right.
Right.
Alexander-Arnold, the one fault he has is one-on-one defending. He can't do it. Now, are you telling me that the rest of the Liverpool players don't know that? So why are they leaving him hanging on his own with Matoma? Mo Salah didn't go back and help him. None of the centre-backs went out to help him. None of the midfielders went out to help him. Nobody went and helped him. They left him hanging. That is about as basic as it gets. Before the game kicked off, I'll bet you Brighton said, get the ball to Matoma and get it out, and you get after Alexander-Arnold. And if Klopp doesn't say that right to his team before the game, then Klopp's not doing his job properly. But as I said, that's another example of what's going wrong with Liverpool that wasn't going wrong. You were asking me earlier.
Yeah.
Everybody was covering for each other last year. And today is a classic example of players, I'm not saying not covering their pal for any other reason than they're just, everybody's trying to get their own job done.
Right.
I mean, just basics.
I think the most damning evidence when you see Liverpool today against Brighton is that you have to put it into the context that just a couple of weeks ago, they got their backsides handed to them by this very same team. So if we were thinking of Liverpool years past, the logical thought process is today, Liverpool shows up. Today, you see a different version of Liverpool. And what we saw is a moral victory for Liverpool. What we saw is like, well, it was better than last time. That's damning evidence, and that's troubling.
They're all clinging on.
Yeah.
They're all clinging on. There's not anybody there. You know, normally, as Ali said, under normal circumstances, as soon as you walk back through that dressing room after getting your backside handed to you,
yeah,
you shouldn't need to say anything. Mm. The coach shouldn't need to say anything. The players should be going, right, by the way, 2 weeks ago, right, you remember. But I don't see that. Mm. I can't imagine right now anybody doing that. They just the energy and the confidence and everything seems to be sucked away. And there wasn't one person on that field today that looked as though he was leading them or in charge of them. There was nothing.
Don, how do you fix Salah?
Good question. I mean, it's one of these, Dan. I mean, Jurgen Klopp's an intelligent guy, and if he could fix it and he knew what the problem was, he'd fix it tomorrow. The trouble with Liverpool is there's so many things going wrong. Now, Stevie's highlighted Trent Alexander-Arnold. Andy Robertson's not in great form neither. The midfield's chopping and changing. The midfield actually done okay in possession today, but it's not really a Liverpool midfield. Salah's going through on goal. I mean, what I don't like, it's not really a criticism, but what really narks me a little bit is every time he misses a chance, he's got a smile on his face. I don't know if it hurts him enough. And, you know, that might just be his personality. That might just be his character. I wouldn't dig him out too much for that. Just touching on what Stevie said there, you know, when they got battered 3-0, there must have been a little bit of scar tissue for the Liverpool players going into this game. And it's almost like their thought process is, off the back of a 2-1 loss, they can go down the tunnel, they can go into the away dressing room, and they can all sort of say to each other under their own little breath and say, the gaffer won't really give me it today because I've done okay today. That's not Liverpool standard, doing okay. You've got to do a lot more than that. And the problems for Liverpool are not just Trent, they're not just Andy Robertson, they're not just the midfield. Front men are not scoring goals. There's injuries galore. They need help. But if anyone thinks that Liverpool are going to sign Jude Bellingham tomorrow and he's going to be the answer just because you sign Jude Bellingham and get Liverpool to the top four, it ain't going to happen. They need a major rebuild in midfield. Backline's not too bad. Front men are sensational when they're going forward, when they're all fit. But it's not just a one-man fix. This is going to take a lot of time.
They're ninth in the table, out of both cups, Stevie. Real Madrid to come in the Champions League next month. What's left for the season? How do you motivate these players? How do you keep them going?
Well, you're playing for Liverpool. You're playing for yourself. You're playing for your family. You know, I'm sure as far as the coaching side of things is concerned, he's reached out and tried every single thing he can on the training field.
Are they still now, listening to him? Are they still responding to what he has to say?
I think so. Yeah, I don't think we've ever sat here and said there's a lack of effort. I don't think we can say that.
Right.
And whilst that's the case, then yeah, they're still playing for the manager. But yeah, now it's becoming personally, what do you do for this team?
Right.
You know, who are you playing for? Why are you turning up every day? Why are you sacrificing this? Now you're starting to think of all the psychological stuff. Because, on the training field, it'll be covered.
Okay.
Now it's about what's going on between your ears and what's inside there. Because that's the thing that makes the legs go. But that brain is the thing that makes that tick. So it's now becoming soul-searching time for Liverpool's players. Look in the mirror and what do you see? And if you don't see the guy that was playing last year and doing what he's doing, then you need to figure out, you need to figure out how to get yourself back to where you are. And as far as Mo Salah's concerned, he's probably lucky that Jota and Diaz are injured right now, because I think he's gone past he's got money in the bank stage.
Right.
And he's lucky that those two guys are unfit, because now you should be starting to think about, well, how do I get this guy back to his best? Is it maybe time to set him for a game? Give him a little nudge? You know, so right now, Mo's getting away with that one because there's nobody else.
There were two teams, of course, that competed. Brighton continue their brilliant season. Just talk to me how brilliant Matoma's goal is, Don.
Oh, it's brilliant. I wouldn't really fault Joe Gomez, you know, Dan, because he looks like the player that's diving in trying to put a block on. The one I think switches off is Darwin Nunez behind him. But the finish is brilliant because everything that goes through your brain at this point in the game when there's seconds on the clock, right now, I've got to get the shot away. We're not going to have another chance in the game. Matoma's thinking, I'm not going to get another chance with seconds left on the clock. But somehow he's got the calmness and he's cool, because normal people take the shot now. Gomez dives in to put the block on. Nunez switches off. He doesn't see it. He's not sure that he's going to produce that skill. But I've got to say, Dan, their recruitment is phenomenal. I mean, Caicedo, £4 million. Matoma, £2.5 million, and the list goes on. Their record signing is about £24 million. They're going to make hundreds of millions if they sell these boys. I mean, incredible talent. You know, coming from a lesser standard of league over in Japan, to hit the ground running the way he has done and tearing fullbacks apart like so easy. My word, like unbelievable recruitment and the foresight to turn him into this sort of player. Graham Potter and especially De Zerbi, huge credit.
It's just brilliant. It's just great to watch, because as Don says, you expect him to pull the trigger for the first chance, but to have the gumption, the insight to take that touch, and just makes it so special.
Think about the time in the game. Time is running out, right? So as a striker, as an attacking player, as this ball is now coming down, you're thinking, I'm going to take a touch and I'm going to hit this. If I can hit it first time, so be it. But you don't even think about taking the extra touches, because you know it's going to get crowded. It's a really tight space. So if you're going to take that additional touch, it has to be perfect. And it was. That little touch around Joe Gomez, it is just beautiful, because it's close enough to his feet to where now in the same motion, he's able to then complete the finish with the outside of his right foot and doesn't allow Darwin Nunez to come across. I don't see this as an issue from Darwin Nunez in not stepping in. I see this as the greatness of the finish by Mitoma.
The only person in the stadium and sitting in the house watching the TV that knew what was going on there was Mitoma.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can blame anybody else.
So Brighton through to the next round of the Cup, the defending champions out. The draw will be made on Monday before Derby County take on West Ham. That, of course, the final game of the round to be played. You can see that at 2:45 Eastern on ESPN+. Meanwhile, we discussed this, didn't we, earlier this week. Anthony Gordon is officially now a Newcastle player. £40 million the transfer fee. Oh, Don, you're perfect for this, of course, with your Everton and Newcastle ways. I'll ask someone this week, is he any good?
Yes. If you want to, I mean, he's only played a handful of games, but if you want to try and have a comparison in terms of how he plays and how he plays in terms of his character on the pitch, he's very much a Craig Bellamy. He's Marmite. I think he'll do well. I think he's got the character to play up on Tyneside. I think he'll be a hit with the fans. He's a hard worker. He's a grafter. He's very, very talented. I think I felt from, you know, being a young boy, the way he got treated off a very classy fan base normally in Everton and the way they hounded him out after the game at Goodison Park wasn't a pretty sight. Then he didn't handle himself particularly well because he was young, might have been ill-advised, but he stayed away from training, handed a transfer request in. He was born 2 minutes away from Goodison, so he's an Everton fan. And he's since apologised, I think, this afternoon. But I think he needed a move, Dan. I think he needed to get the move out of Merseyside, go and play for a club that's on the up. There's loads of confidence at St James's Park. He's got a good young manager in Eddie Howe. I'd like to think he'd manage him well. But I think you'll see him flourish there. I think he'll be very, very good.
Do you know what Marmite is, Ali? Have you heard of Marmite before?
I believe I have tasted that, and it's not very good.
It's a yeast extract, which, as Don says, you either love or you hate. Yeah. Just a reminder, then, the transfer window closes this week. To keep up to date with all the latest transfer news, you imagine it's going to be a frantic few days. Be sure to check out Transfer Talk over on the website. Now, Newcastle, of course, in action in the second leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final. They're in the driving seat at the moment. 1-0 up, of course, going into that second leg against Southampton. That game live on ESPN Plus on Tuesday at 2:30 Eastern. 24 hours later, Manchester United take on Forest. United all but through to the final after that 3-0 win in the first leg.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Drop points for Real Madrid on Sunday as they currently manage a 0-0 draw against Real Sociedad. A very good weekend then in the end for Barcelona, who won, of course, on Saturday. They are now 5 points clear at the top of La Liga table. For more on this, let's welcome in Luis Garcia. Luis, in the end, a frustrating 90 minutes for Real Madrid.
Yeah, frustrated because they couldn't have that end product we've been talking. I think Vinicius should have scored at least one goal. He went in front of the goalkeeper for two, even three occasions without having the chance of scoring. But definitely it's been a superb game. Both teams showed that they wanted, they have the same desire. Real Sociedad played toe-to-toe to this Real Madrid that, in my opinion, is one of the best Real Madrid that we've seen for quite a long time. And at the end, it's all about goals. But Imanol knew that the last 20, 30 minutes, they needed to keep the composure. They never lost it. They even commit players. We've seen Real Sociedad even having a chance in those last minutes. But I have to say that I enjoy watching Real Madrid today. They try. At the end, you don't have the reward of getting 3 points. But at least you can think that this Real Madrid going ahead could have something to say on the league, even though that today they will get only 1 point.
It was weird because this is actually one of the better performances we've seen from Real Madrid, yet they dropped 2 points.
Right. Real Madrid fans, hang with me for a second. I would be more encouraged about this performance, even though you dropped 2 points, than I would be about the performance against Atletico Madrid in Copa del Rey, where you advanced. This version of Real Madrid that can sustain a level play, that can create this many opportunities, will end up winning far more games than that other version that we saw earlier in the week. We saw Real Madrid today engage from the very beginning of the game. We saw their attacking players rotating positions, exchanging positions, appearing all sorts of different spaces, creating chances for one another, individual efforts, combination efforts. But sometimes, either the goalkeeper comes up with a save or simply you haven't been good enough on the day to finish the chances. And this was one of those days today for Real Madrid, where they found themselves in really good positions time after time. You had Vinicius being active, Rodrigo was active, Benzema was active. You were creating enough opportunities, but you have to put them away. And I would say as well that it's the sort of rival that lends itself for Real Madrid to play this way, because Real Sociedad, it must be said, they came to play. They didn't come just to sit back. They came to play. It became open. Real Madrid was taking advantage of it, but no final product in the end.
How critical should we be of Vinicius Junior?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Because sometimes this just happens. Sometimes you leave your shooting boots in the dressing room.
Right.
But if you're going to drop 2 points, this is the way to do it. Ancelotti will not say a word to anybody. He'll congratulate them for the way they played. He'll obviously say, yes, we want to take the chances. But some days you have to accept that you don't put the ball in the back of the net, and that's what it was.
So that's it?
Yeah, you move on.
Turn the page, you move on.
Move on to the next game.
It's 0-0, it's OK.
I tell you what, if somebody turns to Ancelotti and says, the next game, next time you step on the field, you're going to play the same way.
Right.
He'll take that every day of the week.
I do think...
He'll take the way they played every day of the week, by the way, before you say that.
I do think that given the situation that they are in with Barcelona not playing well, but getting results, the opposite of what we saw today from Real Madrid, it forces Real Madrid to be a version of perfect. And each one of these results that kind of slip away is yet another opportunity to maintain separation for Barcelona. And it gives Barcelona...
Yeah.
A little bit more confidence in that if you're Xavi, you show up and say, look, we didn't play well, we won. They played well, they didn't win. This is why we're first, and that's why they're second. That's where they need to remain. We need to continue to have this momentum going forward.
5 points then, the difference at the top of the table, Luis. Percentage-wise, how are you putting this one?
No, at the moment, of course, Barcelona still a long way to go until the last of the season. A lot of things to happen. Both teams are going to drop points, I'm sure of that. But definitely what Alice mentioned is totally right. It is spot on at the end. For Barcelona, in these moments where you play for sometimes during the games, but you lose the control, but at least you continue getting those 3 points, give that a little bit of confidence and, of course, keep that momentum because... We cannot forget that Barcelona only concede 6 goals. We are talking about that they look a vulnerable team, but only concede 6 goals in the total of the season. So at the end, it's a good moment for Barcelona to continue in that momentum going. But again, Real Madrid played today a fantastic, fantastic game against the third team of the league. Don't forget about that. These are a team that will deserve to be there. Showed that composure, showed that ability to be solid at the back, but also dangerous up front. So it's something that you cannot take away from Real Sociedad. They did a great job. A hold at the back, Lenormand, to Belia, even to Mendy when he played in that right side, helping the defense of Vinicius Junior. This is a top, top team that deserves to be in the third position. So, not an easy game that Real Madrid at the end. We're happy, I'm sure, to have a 1 point.
How do you chop this up, Ali? Title race percentage-wise?
I would say 60-40 Barcelona. And the reason I mentioned that is because Luis just said there, 6 goals allowed by Barcelona. Whatever we think of Barcelona defensively, whether it's Ter Stegen coming up with big save, whether it's them hanging on, getting fortunate at times, the numbers would tell you 6 goals allowed this far into the season is a very, very good return for Barcelona. They're defending well. They're doing just enough in the attack, and they managed to somehow go through the stretch of games when Lewandowski wasn't playing and being able to get victory after victory after victory. So now Lewandowski comes back. We assume that they're going to get better offensively. And if they continue to defend the way that they have, it's going to be difficult for then Barcelona to draw points. Real Madrid today were really good, but they didn't find the end product. They now lose 2 points. And this chase is not easy if the team above you somehow is managing to win games and you're having difficulty stringing results together. 60-40 Barcelona.
We'll say thank you very much to Luis. It's the last time this season Real Madrid have failed to score. Carlo Ancelotti spoke to Sid Lowe after the game.
Carlo, I don't know if it's right to ask a manager this, but is this one of those games where a 0-0 can actually be a lot of fun? Is this one of those games where a 0-0 can actually be a lot of fun?
A lot of fun?
Yeah.
No, not fun. Well, not funny. But we have to accept this. Above all, when you play so well, we played really well. We are really satisfied for what we did on the pitch, without the ball, with the ball, putting pressure, keep intensity in the game. We had a lot of opportunity. We didn't score. Can happen.
What was missing? Was it, from your point of view, was it just the finishing, or was there anything else you felt your team could have done?
I think just the finishing. We arrived 3 or 4 times in front of the goalkeeper. We were not so lucky in that moment, but I think that the game was good, really good.
You were saying in midweek that despite the comeback in the Copa del Rey game, that you felt like you wanted your team to play better, and you found it difficult to explain how there could be two halves of football quite so different. What did you say to the players? What was the build-up like for this game in terms of the approach to the play? Not so much the result, but the play.
Oh, I said to them that we have to try to start better the game, because the last 4 games, only one against Bilbao was good at the first half. And today I think that the game was complete from the first minute until the end. This team is improving physically, mentally. We will have back 3 players, Alaba, Tchouaméni, and I think we are going to be better. The most difficult period was January, I think. I think in February we can have better performances, starting from tonight. That was good.
This happened a little bit last year in January, didn't it? That the team struggled a little bit in January and then came through it and improved in February. Is there anything that you've done differently this year? You've talked a lot about that transition in midfield towards maybe a slightly younger, slightly more energetic midfield. Is that something that's just for now, or is that for the rest of the season?
No, I think that the rotation will be important, because this is a different season compared to last season. We had the World Cup there, a lot of players involved, and slowly the players that were in the World Cup are back, and I think we are going to compete in the next few months, because it will be the most important period of the season.
Sid Lowe joins us then from the Bernabeu. Now, it'd be great if Ancelotti just slapped him when he went, fun? You think it was fun watching that?
Sid, it was fun. It was a lot of fun, wasn't it? You don't normally get a 0-0 that's this good, do you? I mean, to be fair, I did think to myself, I'm not sure if I should be asking a manager this, but it was a really enjoyable game.
It was, Sid, and what's funny about it is that we've seen Real Madrid play a lot worse and win.
Yeah, absolutely. And Carlo Ancelotti, I think, was aware of that. We talked about this a little, didn't we, before the game, that even in midweek, when they'd come back against Atletico Madrid, and the most important thing is that they'd won that game and they got through to the semi-finals of the Copa del Rey. But even then, and even in that run of comebacks that have all fallen Real Madrid's way in the end, Carlo Ancelotti said, yeah, but I can't explain why this team has been playing better in both halves, why there's such a difference between the first half when they're so bad and the second half when they're really, really good, and that he wasn't happy with that and that he wanted a performance. Now, he didn't get the results tonight, but I think he did get the performance. And yet, I want to also make clear at this point, at least from my point of view, I don't know how it felt to you lot watching it there. From my point of view, this was two really good teams. Although they were under pressure, I thought we saw a really good Real Sociedad as well. I thought we saw two really good teams produce a really, really fantastic game.
Yeah, very enjoyable indeed. We'll let you go and warm up, Sid. Thank you very much. Just a reminder, plenty of content from La Liga and beyond over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go to ESPN FC and subscribe. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Let's head to Italy. Some big shocks. Milan losing at home to Sassuolo by 5-2. Monza, meanwhile, beating Juventus in Turin 2-0. It was 1-1 between Lazio and Fiorentina. But let's start, shall we, with the league leaders. Napoli beating Roma by 2-1 to put them now 13 points clear at the
it's
top
over.
Of the table.
It's done.
Done. It's over, isn't it?
Has to be done. 13 clear. I mean, even my percentages would say this looks like a 90-10 job. I mean, they were just phenomenal again. I mean, don't get me started on my man Osimhen, who's just amazing. But this was another test that they had to pass. And to be fair to Jose Mourinho's men, in the second half, they were a lot better. Got back in the game at 1-1. Osimhen's goal for the first goal is just off the charts, skillful. And then the strength and the depth that Napoli have got this season, they've got people like Elmas and Simeone, Raspadori, Politano. They've got unbelievable depth, which they've never really had over the years. And you go 13 clear at this point of the season with another massive win. And the telltale signs as well, Dan, after the game. You know, they dominated the game. They were far superior. The stats and the numbers look a little bit sort of similar, but they were amazing. The telltale signs, when the final whistle went, the crowd were obviously going ballistic because they think the title's coming for the first time in 33 years. It was the reaction of Spalletti. It was the reaction of the bench. They were jumping up and down celebrating because they knew in the immediate test, this was it. They've got fixtures coming up like Sassuolo, Cremonese, Spezia. They should chalk up so many more points in the next few weeks.
And what's helping them as well, of course, those that are supposedly in the title race are dropping points left, right and centre. Milan being a key example of that. What on earth happened to them today?
Well, they're just, I mean, like Dortmund, they can't keep a clean sheet lately. I mean, since the World Cup, I mean, defenders like Tomori and Simon Kjær and Kalulu, all fantastic defenders, Theo Hernandez another, they've just gone to bits. They're giving penalties away, they're giving cheap goals away. They got walloped today at San Siro as well, which is never a pretty sight if you're a Milan fan. And they've more or less in the last couple of weeks, because of the lack of clean sheets, took themselves out of the title race. I mean, they're dropping points for fun. They're just losing like ridiculous goals. The timing of their goals that they're giving away doesn't help. They go behind, it puts them on the back foot and they can't react. And I think the biggest mistake, I think, from Pioli and the hierarchy at Milan was when they won the Scudetto last season and they didn't really strengthen. They signed Origi, not really going to be a starter. They've still got Zlatan there at 40. They've still got Giroud there, I think, at 36. They should have strengthened while they were hot. They haven't done it.
Meanwhile, who would want to be a Juventus fan at the moment, Don?
Oh, well, it must be the first time in history that Monza have done the double over them. They beat them, what, 6-7 months ago, 1-0, and they turned them over at the Allianz today, and they were comfortable. The second goal from Monza, I mean, was a work of art. They passed it through, they got in behind. Lovely sort of one and two touch football, made it look very easy. And another sort of loss from Monza again that'll put Max Allegri under a little bit of pressure, Dan.
Yes, quite a lot of pressure in the moment, isn't it?
I imagine so.
Don, thank you very much. Don will be back for Extra Time, which you can always check out over on our YouTube channel. Very exciting. I have all the questions here.
Oh.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The US men were in action last night, of course, part of January camp, taking on Colombia in a friendly. It would finish goalless. For a lot more reaction to that game, be sure to check out the latest edition of Football Americas. That drops on Monday. Seb and Herc will bring you their thoughts on the draw. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for joining us. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Don is back. Ali and Stevie, of course, here as well to answer your questions for Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali and Stephen here in the studio with us. Don joins us as well. Nice of you to sit with us, Stevie. You didn't watch the game with us or anything
what
today.
What was that all about?
I didn't know you looked really well.
We're in the same room. We watch every single game.
For years.
Where would we be?
Sorry. Sorry, I just sat at my desk and had my lunch.
Oh, lovely. Right. What was on the menu for lunch today?
Can I guess? Can I go?
Yeah, go on, have a guess.
Well, mince.
No.
Oh.
What?
No, Sunday.
No turnips?
No.
Oh, I'm wrong?
No. Sausage, egg, and a roll.
Oh, I didn't.
Yes, yeah.
A cup of tea. The variety. You got me with the variety.
Yeah. Did Ali and Dan plan to wear matching outfits today? How badly did either of you want to go back home and change when you first saw each other today?
What?
Why complimenting each other? Wait, you sometimes sport the salmon shirts.
Yeah, where were you today? Again.
Don't have a salmon shirt. Oh, I do.
Yes, you do.
I have a... Woo! Oh, thanks, lads.
Oh, there
thanks
you
for
are.
Letting me know.
Don, what are you wearing, Don?
Oh, just got a little... They call this a quarter zip.
Oh.
In the fashion trade, Dan.
Oh,
they call it a quarter zip.
Yeah, you've got to be over 40 to wear that, or 50.
Stevie, you would have liked my dinner today.
Oh.
Aye, what was it?
Girlfriend took me up for a slap-up meal in a steakhouse.
Oh, well done.
I ordered a steak board. Right. Loads of different cuts of meat. Mm. Just meat. Oof. Amazing.
Was that an Argentinian place, by any chance?
Sort of.
So, no.
Sort of.
So, no. We're going to go with no.
An Argentinian steaks, but not an Argentinian restaurant.
And you had them all medium rare, yeah, Don?
No, for me, Dan, I had the medium.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Like a notch down or two.
Wow, that's quite different for your normal well-done ways.
Exactly.
That's completely
and
different.
And did it taste better?
Not really, no. Not really. I still looked at the middle and thought there's a little bit of blood. Like, I need to go the notch up from medium.
Right.
Medium Don, well.
Let me ask Don a question.
Okay.
Don.
That's exciting.
Uh-huh. Yes, Stevie?
If you're in charge at Everton, right?
Oh,
God. Yeah.
And you want to stay up. You
take them down first.
Are you letting Anthony Gordon go?
It's not
why?
Not because of the talent. I just think there's so much chaos and there's so much fire going on at Everton at the moment. And when he stayed away, even though he's an Everton fan, I think a lot of the Evertonians couldn't handle it because they sort of saw it as like one of our own, doesn't even want to play for us. It's a scandal. Get him out of the club. He wasn't particularly starting loads of games. So Everton and their fans are thinking, I've spoke to quite a few of them, especially on social media, and they're sort of like, well, if we get 40 million quid in, it might be money that Sean Dyche can try and reinvest. That's how they see it. I think they took a chance because I think the kid's got loads of talent. But I think he needed a move as well.
He's talking to a lot of fans on social media.
To Stevie.
It's always a good idea.
Who is the best coach for Liverpool if Klopp gets sacked at the end of the season?
No idea.
Yeah, who would you want in there?
I don't know. Well, there's not another Klopp.
No.
So... I don't know. I tell you what you could do. Just do what you... Because you're a big club, go and get a Serbi from Brighton.
Really? He's impressed you that much?
Well, on the face of it, it was, wow, you're taking over from Potter. How are you going to get more?
Right.
I would have thought...
Would you prefer him say, to a Tuchel or a Pochettino?
Yes. Yeah, because he plays exciting attacking football. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, I like Brendan Rodgers the way he coached the team. Because he played it good. I just didn't like the other stuff. But the way he played the game, I liked. And I like the way that Serbia has Brighton playing.
There you go.
As I said, the fact that he's got them better from when Paul was here is incredible.
Liverpool legend says sack Klopp and bring in Serbia.
What? Controversy.
There it is. For the boys.
Why don't I just phone Liverpool Echo and tell them that?
Yeah. Liverpool Echo is the local newspaper.
See, every time he opens his mouth, Liverpool Echo goes, and they start sticking headlines up. Oh, that's Nicholson, he should get the sack.
There you go.
Because of this thing here.
I don't think it's because of me.
I know.
I don't think I'm the reason.
No, nothing to do with you.
Why does he refer to you as a thing?
Well, because he's angry.
I can't say bad words on the telly.
It's a Liverpool Echo. Listen to me and go, What was it that they did you bad on? Was it Gakpo? I can't remember. They stick you up.
Yeah, Gakpo.
Gakpo, yeah.
Yeah, it was. So they didn't need him.
Yeah.
They do.
And you said
it's
that again.
It's typical press, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah, go down this path. Well, this is going to help the situation.
It's classic, isn't it? What they do is they stick a headline.
Yes.
And then actually what you say has got nothing to do with the headline that you didn't actually say.
Well.
But then it doesn't matter.
Right.
Too late.
Sounds like this show.
Yeah.
No. You said.
For the boys, this is for Don. Even without 80 million Caicedo, Brighton beat defending champions Liverpool in the FA Cup today. Do you think such a positive result will soften the club's stance on a Caicedo transfer this window?
What, in terms of trying to keep him or
In the fact that they can beat Liverpool without him, does it make it easier to sell him?
Definitely. Adam Lallana come out with a great comment, which players don't normally come out. Players normally give it the old rhetoric. Oh, we're sad to see Trossard go and in this, that and the other. He was a great pro. Lallana come out and said, he didn't say good riddance, but he said, we don't need him anymore. Mm. Since Trossard hasn't been in the side, we beat teams by 4 and 5. Don't need him. So listen, Caicedo's a very, very good player, Dan, but there's lots of Caicedos out there. There's loads of them. And if he's valued at Brighton and they think he's £80 million and someone wants to pay £80
million... If there's loads of them, why are they taking
£80 million? I'll tell you what, can we get one? Give Klopp a call and tell me where all these guys are. We need one.
I'll tell you where they are, Stevie. I'll tell you where they are. Haidara at Leipzig. He's another one. Tonali, who's better at AC Milan. Wouldn't put Sander Berger in that, but a young player. There's loads of these number eights out there that can close down. Caicedo, I think, in about 40 games, has scored one goal.
I don't mean to be an idiot, million. But I'm going to be. Okay. Remember when we had the conversation of which player from Brighton would be in the Liverpool starting 11? You said none of them were getting the starting 11, with the exception of...
Caicedo,
right?
Because it's what Liverpool need. It's what Liverpool need. They need the muscle and they need the legs of what Gini Wijnaldum had. My point was, which I didn't really get it across, they didn't need the diminutive Alexis McAllister. They didn't need that type of player. They need the profile and the muscle and the strength of Caicedo. Brighton can go and find another one. They just proved it with signing Matoma for £2.5 million. Caicedo was £4 million.
Come on, seriously, if there's millions of them around, why did Liverpool not get one in this transfer window? When clearly,
Stevie,
we need somebody like that. Why
is that?
Here's
one for you, right? Stevie, here's one for you, right? And I don't think Premier League scouts are lazy. but I think they're very easily parted with their money. I was at Fulham yesterday and I commentated on the Sunderland game, and Sunderland have got about 4 or 5 19-year-olds. And the best player on the park was Amad Diallo, who's on Man United's books. And he was up against Kurzawa, who's played for Monaco, PSG, and he tore him to shreds, and the kid's 19. Why did Man United pay £90 million for Jadon Sancho and £85 million for Antony when they've got Amad on their books? I think the Premier League club's just too happy to go £50 million quid, £90 million quid, £70 million quid. There's Caicedos all over Europe.
You know, like, by the way, you know, like I said, it's not from Europe. Just to...
No, I mean they're playing in Europe.
I know, Don.
Liverpool Echo's got Don calls Liverpool scouts lazy.
Yeah. Yet another headline.
Ali and Yaki Williams' streak of 251 consecutive matches played in La Liga ended, of course. Mm. Today didn't feature in Athletic Club's
defeat. He's a shocker, isn't he?
Do you remember the most matches you played?
Malingera.
Most matches you played in a row without missing any. Which teammates was the Iron Man when you played?
Well, I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't think I kept up with the streak. It certainly wasn't 251. I'm going to say that much.
250.
And usually, when you think of guys that are always playing, the first position that you think of is goalkeeper.
Sure. Yeah.
And those were the guys that were always available and usually not injured. It takes something special for a goalkeeper to get injured. It's usually maybe comes out for a cross or something.
Shaka broke his leg, didn't he?
Well, but that's Shaka. Yeah. And you know that Shaka was late to the challenge. You know that Shaka didn't get there on time. I don't remember top of my head.
251, Stevie.
That's a lot.
Who back in your day was like
Phil Neal? Phil Neal killed that.
Right.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Quickly.
Oh, no, you won't be able to look it up.
Why not?
Well, because it might... I'm going to say Phil Neal played something stupid like 340 games in a row.
I'm going to put in Phil Neal consecutive games. Well, I'm doing that. Don, what was your
David
run?
I was actually not bad. I can remember very quickly, not so much games on the spin, but I remember getting the suspension for 10 yellow cards at Everton. And Walter Smith, the manager, said to me, he said, go and have a two-week holiday. Go and have a 10-day break. And I went, no. I said, if I go away for 10 days, it's going to take me a long time to get back into shape. And he went, I've had a look at your numbers since the day he arrived, when Howard Kendall was the manager before him. He went, you've not missed a day's training for something like a year and a half.
Wow.
So I was training every single day for a year and a half.
Oh. Isn't that your job?
Only played about 10 games, but I was there to train every day, yeah.
Okay, between October 1976 and September 1983, Liverpool's Phil Neal played an unbelievable 417 games in succession. The longest run in club history.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
I bet there's nobody close to that.
I mean, think about
anywhere
this.
In the world.
If you go back to the Iñaki Williams conversation, the 251, this is also at the same time and within the same context of the time that Gareth Bale was in La Liga. And you think of the availability of Iñaki Williams and lack thereof of players like Gareth Bale, like Eden Hazard. Now, of course, we're talking a different type of talent, but it does go a long way in telling you how much preparation it takes, and an element of good fortune it takes for you to be available for 251 games.
417, though.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you reckon your record was, Stevie?
I really couldn't tell you.
You're not in the top. You're not in the top 30.
No.
Well, there you are. Don trained every day, though.
Yeah. No. Yes. Good. He was. He was there. Thanks for coming, Don.
Don, what's the percentage that Everton get relegated?
Oh.
Dear me. Well, now that they've sacked my man Frank.
Oh, Don. It looks like it's gonna be Sean Dyche. Don. You were crying quite a lot about that.
Well, I thought he'd done a good job. I really did. I thought he saved the club last year.
Job?
No, I thought over the piece. He was only there 1 year, you know, and he kept Everton up last season. Granted, when you've
down.
Got, I think, I know, when you've got one win in 14, the likelihood is you're on your way down.
Oh, you didn't tweet that. You went, oh, I can't imagine what Frank could have done more.
Well, yeah, because they sold all the best players, the shoulder of Charleston, didn't give him enough money, blah, 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 blah.
Just because he's
they
your
had
mate.
To make the change.
Just because he's your mate.
No, I'm fair, but what I would say is Sean Dyche now, I think at this present time, has got a better chance in keeping Everton up than what Frank had, because
so it was the right decision.
1-14 percentage of Everton going down.
So Donny, it was the right decision in the end to sack Frank.
I think it was. I think it was. It was 1-14. It's 1-14. You can't press it.
Let me rewind. Come on, minute.
I could have sworn he was making an argument for Frank.
Stevie, how have you not, Stevie? How have you not done it in 6 years you've been there?
I make sure that I'm further away than arm's width.
He was making an argument for Frank, right? Right. I know that English is not my first language, but. He was making an argument for Frank.
Yes.
And then quickly turned to he's only won 1-14, so therefore he was right to be fired.
So what's our percentage?
I think the timing was right. I think the timing was right.
Right.
Percentage, I think I'm going to go about 60.
Did they get relegated?
Yeah.
Nice. Could have been more than that.
You think so? Well, there's a lot of dross down there.
Southampton will go.
Who's worse than Everton?
Bournemouth. Now they've got a proper manager.
Southampton.
Right. I'd argue, this is off the back of yesterday, we were asked, was Casemiro the best signing of the summer? Mm. And Frank said yes and then said no because he said Erling Haaland. I'd argue that Casemiro is a better signing than Haaland simply because City will be pretty much where they are, while United are a surprise top four contender.
You can't win.
Oh.
You can't. Haaland's got how many goals?
1,000.
A lot.
31.
Right.
31.
He's got 31. So he's broken all kinds of records. I mean, you can't argue with either one.
Right.
Yes, Casemiro has made a huge difference. But you're telling me that if they had signed somebody else and not Casemiro, they wouldn't have closed the gap anyway.
What about Caicedo?
There you go. Well, there's hundreds of there. There's hundreds of there.
Don, who's the best signing of the summer?
Run-of-the-mill Caicedo. Hundreds of them.
I think it's Casemiro.
Really?
I think most centre-forwards at a decent level can probably go in at Man City and hit a lot of numbers and get loads of chances and loads of goals. Haaland's amazing, don't get me wrong. But I think impact-wise, I think it's Casemiro.
Had to go. How can you go against goals like that?
I know. Well, Don says anyone can go there and score.
And I don't think that's accurate.
By the way, can I just say something?
Of course.
You know what, earlier on when Don was talking about Milan?
Yes.
And he said, and Origi is on the bench.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah,
what is going? What is this? What is wrong with this guy?
Oh, it's your friend.
Does he just like being on the bench everywhere
he
goes?
He doesn't like it.
He's on the bench for Belgium. He's on the bench for Liverpool. Then he's on the bench for Milan. Does he just like being on the bench?
Well, I'm sure it's his choice.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to play or do you want to sit on the bench?
I
sit down.
Never mind, Phil Neal's got the record for consecutive appearances.
Right.
Has he got the record for getting benched?
Right.
I'm sure Origi has Phil Neal right there.
Don, percentage chance. Osimhen is in the Premier League by this time next year.
Well, as I said before, someone's going to go in with ridiculous money. The problem is, Dan, if Mudrik is £100 million,
mm-hmm.
this guy's £300 million.
Right, that's quite a lot.
So I honestly hope... I honestly hope... saying that loosely, Steve. I honestly hope that he stays at Napoli because, and again, this is not a dig at Chelsea. I promise it's not. The worst move he could make if Chelsea went in there this window and went £200 million, whatever the number is, that would be the worst choice he would make because he's an all-out striker that runs around, amazing touch, but he's chaos in a great way. Chelsea would play it sideways and sideways and sideways. and he would be going ballistic. So that'd be the worst move you could make. City are not going to sign him because they've got Haaland. Liverpool have done their money on Nunez, so it probably leaves Man United. He'd be amazing for them. But I'd like to think that if he wins a Scudetto at Napoli, I'd like to think he stays there. I love him.
Does that know why he would leave?
Yeah, if he wins it, goes off in a blaze of glory, makes lots of money at Manchester United, Don.
Well, if it's Man United, it's Man United. What I'm saying is he's got to be very careful, I think, which I think he's an intelligent lad, to not just choose the size of the club and not just choose the money, but choose what style is going to make him that little bit better.
Well, it's going to go against all the reasons why players move then. Oh. The money and the size.
Stay where you are now. Maybe he wants to sit next to Origi.
Yeah, Origi.
Craig got very excited yesterday. Paintballing and go-karting.
Okay.
What?
Craig named some of his favourite team bonding activities, go-karting, paintballing, last night. What were some of your special team bonding moments in your team? Mm. Do you remember?
Oh, you got the pub.
Go to the pub?
Yeah.
Right.
I go to the pub and have a carry-on.
All right.
Simple.
You didn't do anything else?
No.
Right. Team bonding, Ali and you, I'm not sure if something nice.
Team
bonding.
Why would you say that?
I don't know.
I'm a friendly guy. I remember a couple of Halloween parties that were a lot of fun.
Oh, wow.
Just want to say. One of them, I was the Mad Hatter.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
The only one I don't remember
who
all that much.
Who was this with? Huh? Who was this with?
With the team.
With the team.
And we were bonding.
Wow. Yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah. You used to have fancy dress parties.
Halloween. Oh,
I've seen some of the costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
This one in particular was with the Philadelphia Uni, if I remember.
Oh, there we go. Don, any team bonding that took place outside of a pub?
Yeah, Craig's are good, but you can't beat an away trip.
Okay.
You can't beat a little Magaluf or somewhere away with the lads.
Right.
You can't beat them trips.
Yes.
They're amazing.
Magaluf, very cultured place.
Yeah. No, is it?
Yes.
You go there for privacy.
High class.
Did you ever try and organise? No, it's not your sort of
golf outings.
Golf outings? No. In the Revs? No.
No.
No. Didn't need to. Bond.
We had a poker tournament at one point.
Oh, look, honey, you had lots of things going on.
Well, we're bonding every day.
Yeah, sounds like it. That is it. We are done. Thank you very much, ESPN FC. We'll be back tomorrow. All the front pages, back pages of the Liverpool Echo, everything.
All over
the reveal. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.